Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
Well, I've told you over the last couple of weeks, we have the privilege of having Life Challenge with us today. I told them, buckle up. I told them, install, you know, seat belts into their seats. We're expecting, I've already felt the Spirit move among us as we've been in this worship time together. I want to invite Phil Hall to come up at this time. Phil, would you come on up? Phil is a great guy. I met Phil about 14 months ago or so, maybe a year ago, and it was about a year ago, because this is the funny story about Phil. As I met Phil, went down and met with him, we had kind of started this community partnership with them about a year ago, and it was really interesting. My first Sunday off last year, when I take like a preaching sabbatical, I just randomly chose this church in Clarkston, and I walk in the church, and the very first person I see is Phil, and I'm like, where do I know this guy from? And Phil's like, Pastor, it's great to see you. We're doing a rally today. And so I got to experience a little bit of what you're going to experience today. But Phil has been the director of Life Challenge here in Flint for almost 3 years? Before that, he was doing this down 3 years ago in Detroit. He works full-time outside of doing this. His wife Amy's here. I know she's going to have a part of our presentation today as well, because really the brains of the operation is Amy, right? So we know that to be true. But I'm going to pray for you real quick and then turn this over to you. God, I pray that you just open our eyes and our ears to what you want to show us today and what you want to speak into our heart. God, I believe today that you're going to do a work among us that's so deep and so genuine and so real. I pray that you would peel back the part of our soul, the part of our spirit that wants to protect our own selves, the dark side, the side that we never want anyone to know about. That you would, Lord God, open us up to be honest and transparent before you and honest and transparent among our friends. For our guests here today who are here for the very first time, to those who've been worshiping with us for over 20 years, God, today I pray that your Spirit is unleashed among us and that we see a Spirit of truth. Speak through Phil's testimony, through Amy's testimony, through these guys who will share. And God, guide us and direct us as only you can. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you welcome Phil Hall?
Well, good morning. Thank you for having us here today. We are excited to be a part of this service and just to share with you what the Lord is doing in our lives. I tell you what, Pastor Terry, thank you. You guys have been so supportive to us. You've been a great partner. We have lots of mentors that have come and walked beside these men, Bob, Co, and Bill, and Dave, and we were in some big trouble not too long ago. Our bus broke down, and then we borrowed another bus, and then that one broke down, and we were in some deep trouble, and you guys came through, and we appreciate that. And we're just so thankful for a lot of you. You guys come out here, cook, made dinner for these guys, haircuts. I mean, so much stuff. Come on, give them a round of applause. But again, my name's Phil, and I'm the campus director, and it's Adult and Teen Challenge Flint, Life Challenge Ministries. The little background here. For those that don't know about our program, we are a one-year residential program for men who have hinders in their life, such as drugs, alcohol, anything that is life-controlling. And we believe only through the power of Jesus Christ that men can be set free. Come on, doesn't that excite you today? Teen Challenge. How many here have read the book Cross and the Switchblade? David Wilkerson. Okay, there's a good chunk. If you haven't read it, you got to pick it up and read it. It's like a little story of where we started from. And that was back in the early 50s. there was this pastor, David Wilkerson. He was in Pennsylvania, and he was flipping through a Life magazine, and he stumbled on a group of teenagers going to trial for murder. And he felt the Holy Spirit come over him, and he felt like he had to go to New York because that's where they were. So he shot up, left, went to New York to speak with these boys, and that was in the early 1953, somewhere around there, and he got his chance. But then he started getting on the street, and he started talking to drug addicts and gangbangers, and that's where the Teen Challenge began back then. Now there are over 200 across the nation, and there's over 1,000 worldwide. Come on. It is a very structured program. We're always moving. There's a lot of classes, Bible classes, topical classes. It's just a going. We believe that we should be a part of serving the community, learn how to serve and love others. So we put that in our program. It's just been a wonderful thing. But I'm very, very passionate about this program. Because I also went through this program 10 years ago. I'm going to invite my wife up. This is my wife, Amy. To give you a little background of me, I grew up in a very poor environment. My dad was he was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. Real young, he left my mom. I had two brothers with nothing, no food, no car, no money, in a one-bedroom shack with no heat. And I can remember taking a hairdryer during some of these Michigan winters just to keep my brothers and I warm. And when I turned 13, I got a job to kind of help support my family. At that time, I started drinking. I would drink and drink and drink until it made me sick. But I liked that feeling that it gave me, that feeling of escape at that time of what I was dealing with. And so I kept that going. Then as time went on, me and my boss, we became good drinking buddies. And we would drink in the morning, drink at night, and it just turned into a bad deal there. And then I started using drugs. And I kept that part a secret from everybody. And I met my wife at the age 21, I believe, 21. We started dating, but she had no idea about the drugs. She knew a little bit about the alcohol. And
yeah, when I met Phil, we both drank, and we partied, and we had fun until it really wasn't fun anymore. Is it not on?
No, it died here.
Okay. Sorry, yeah. So we would both drink and party and have fun, and then it just wasn't fun for me anymore, and it was clear there was more going on with Phil. But then we got married, and I really just thought that that would stop. Like, I knew I was going to stop doing that, and I thought that he would, too, and we'd have kids and a family and be normal. But a few years into our marriage, I realized he was never going to be able to stop.
No, I mean, I thought everything was going, you know, somewhat decent. I mean, I was struggling. I was running a successful business. I was making a lot of money. We had the house on the lake. We had the cars, the boats, the rental house. But in truth, the outside looked good, but I was crumbling on the inside. I did do good for a little while when we had our first child. I was able to stay sober for almost a year, I would say.
And sure. He did good. And that was sort of our life for like the next 5 years. It was really good and being sober and then going back and using again. And so we went through every program there was. We did AA, we did NA, we went to counseling, he went to counseling, went to marriage counseling, he went to a secular rehab. And it just sort of would just be this cycle. We'd have good seasons and then we'd have really bad seasons. And we kind of got to the point where nothing was working, just feeling hopeless. And then we met our good friends. They lived on the lake with us. They were this awesome Christian homeschool family. They had 9 kids, loved the Lord. And we just had a good time with them, and we started to get to know them and share with them what was going on. And I remember...
We shared, but they didn't run.
Yeah, they still... I remember being shocked. Like, they still want to be our friends. Yeah. These are really good people, right? Who wants to be friends with a family that's fallen apart? But they were there, and they stayed with us. And Phil worked all the time. He was never home. Worked all weekend. And so they were just like, why don't you come to church? Bring your kids. We have... three kids at the time, and just had our third. And so I started going to church with them on Sundays, and I would go there and I'd be a mess. I'd be crying. I didn't know what was going on. I was feeling all kinds of things that I'd never felt before, but I knew I was supposed to be there, and I knew this was right. And so I just wanted Phil to come. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I really want you to come here. And so after a lot of begging, he came one Sunday.
Yeah, I ended up going. You know, to buy some more time, make her happy, say, all right, I'll go. And so I ended up going to church and walking in there. And there happened to be a Life Challenge rally that day. God knows what he's doing. But I'm out there and I'm sitting out there like you guys are, and I'm listening to somebody give their testimony. And I'm like, man, these people are crazy. There's no way I would ever do anything like that.
And I was just like super sad. I was like, why didn't we know about this before we had kids and a house and job and responsibility? I didn't even consider it to be something that we could do.
So it was about 2 months, I would say, after that service, things really started getting bad. I was just, the guilt, the shame, and everything was just piling up on me. And so I came up with a plan, my own plan to save my family from me and my addiction. I had this great idea. So I was going to jump in my car. We lived in Milford, and I was going to head from Milford down to Detroit, and I was going to buy some drugs, and I was just going to take my car, and I was just going to crash it into a wall or something and just end it and just save them. But on my way down, I hollered out. I said, Lord, if you're real, then help me. If you're real, then stop me. And I had this overwhelming experience. And I knew right then that Jesus was alive, that he was real. So it was pretty late at night, and I said, I just felt this tug to go into Life Challenge. So I got on the phone, and I was calling up Teen Challenge. But for some reason, I called Teen Challenge Africa. I don't know how that happened. But got me straightened out, and I ended up, you know, making the right phone call. And then my next phone call was to my wife. I'm like, hey... I'm going into Life Challenge.
And I was like, yeah, right. I didn't believe him for a minute. I figured this was just a way to keep me from leaving, because that's to the point we had gotten to. We had done everything. Nothing worked. And so I was ready to leave. I was literally going home from being at my parents' house and packing our things to leave with the girls when my phone rang. And it was Life Challenge calling to tell me that my husband wanted to come in their program and tell me all about it and what we needed to do. And I was just completely in shock. I couldn't believe that this was really happening. And I just was in denial that it would work. And so I had told her, I said, this isn't going to work. We've done everything. Programs don't work. This is just who he is. Because that's what I've been told. That's what I was told at all those support groups I went to. I was told that my husband was always going to be an addict and there was nothing I could do. So I had no hope. And but she told me, I'll never forget this, she said, you've been trying to find something to fix him. You've been looking for a cure. He doesn't need to be fixed. He needs to be saved.
That's
and
right.
So he went.
So I entered Life Challenge, and through the classes and the chapel services, and I just gave my life to Christ, and it's been amazing. I went through the program, we ended up losing pretty much everything out there, but going through the program and changing this path in my life was just absolutely amazing. But, you know, during that program, I wasn't the only one, you know. Something else happened there, huh?
Right. It didn't just affect Phil. It changed our whole family. So when Phil left, I was just filled with fear. And this fear was not new to me. I lived pretty much my entire life in fear, even as a young girl. But it had just intensified. It was just crippling because, I had no hope. I was pretty certain this wasn't going to work. And I had three kids and I felt like we were losing our family. We were losing our home. And there was just no hope at all. And I started to go visit Phil after he'd been there for some time. And I'd visit him. And each time I'd visit him, I'd see something different. There was this joy in him that I hadn't seen in years. And he was just at peace. And he had hope, and I was like, who are you? And then as time went on, he started talking about Jesus and this new life, and it was just so amazing, and I didn't really know what was happening because I was home and he was there. And so I had met with a friend, and I was telling her all this that was happening, and she had asked me if I had ever given my life to Christ, and I didn't even know what that meant. I was raised Catholic, so I was like, I know my Bible a little bit, and I've done some stuff, but we talked about what that meant, and that night, I just remember talking and praying with her a lot, and I gave my life to the Lord, and this amazing thing happened. I was no longer afraid. Like, the fear was gone,
right?
And I knew that something good was coming for our family.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's our story. It changed everything.
Yeah.
And after leaving, the Lord just blessed our family,
sure.
And really just, you know, gave
just
us...
Just restored everything.
Restored everything. Yep. A new house, new jobs.
More kids.
More kids. Yeah, more kids, for sure. And that's funny.
Yeah, just really changed their lives. I look at my kids all the time. I see them. They're on the worship team at our church. Yeah. They serve at Life Challenge with us. And it's like we stopped that. We stopped that path, that generation that of what was happening in our lives. And they're no longer going to have to live that life. And they get to experience a new life.
Right.
So.
But now we get to walk beside these
yes.
men.
Yes.
You know, we were once there. So we know what's going on. And it's so rewarding. It's so beautiful to see the transformation happen. You know, from when they come in the program, like, it's, and when they're leaving, it's awesome.
Yeah, truly.
So thank you. And at this time, we want to invite Mario. Now, Mario went through the program. He graduated, what, was it May?
Yeah, end of May.
End of May, and now he's an intern, so he's going to do his spoken, you might want to come down.
Yeah.
Down here. His spoken word with his testimony in it.
Hi, hello, my name is Mario. For Jesus, I'm ready to flow. So listen up, bro, and listen up, sis, so you all don't miss, as it goes a little something like this. It started way back in history, in the year of 1983. It was just me, my sis G, and her friend, you see. I was only 3 plus 3. They were smoking the doobie. They passed it to me. In minutes, it had to be only 2 or 3. I started laughing uncontrollably. Then I started to cry. I don't know why. Maybe I thought I was going to die. I remember to this day, I could hear my sister's friend say, I hope you don't turn into a vegetable. Now I was only 6. I thought they were talking about a real vegetable. Looking back now, holy cow, all I can say is wow. Fast forward a decade or so, I started smoking the tobacco, the cigs all in a row. Man, bro, the seeds we sow. Fast forward again. Now this is where I really fell into sin, and the devil started to win. At the age of 26 in 2003, he stole my glee. I was no longer free, but wrapped in a chain. The hurt, the pain from the crack cocaine. Some would say I jumped on the crazy train, that I went insane. I can't believe I smoked that junk. I felt like such a punk. My fam's heart must have sunk. What happened next was no surprise. I started telling all kinds the lies to hide my addiction, but I have to mention this is not made up, this is not fiction. Lost my job, felt like a slob, brand new truck, repossessed, felt like a leech, a pest, always asking people for a ride. Man, did I backslide, but from God there was nowhere you can hide. I lost all care. I started staying here and there, this place and that. I felt like a rodent, looked like a rat. Then one day there I sat starting to cry, asking Lord, why, oh, why do I do the things I do, and feeling sorry for myself, and still I pout. Then I began to shout, asking the Lord, please find me a way out. The Holy Spirit came over me, don't doubt, and he showed me a way out. Shortly thereafter, I met this girl, Shannon was her name. Her hair, it was the same, curly like mine. She was beautiful like a day of rain and sunshine at the same time. But in the end, we started using, my friend. This season, about this time when I made this rhyme, we used one day, and on that day, I'm sorry to say, she passed away. Still in shock as I watched them drag my girlfriend's body in the bag. After that, I was never the same. I was filled with guilt. I was full of shame. I felt I was to blame. Back at mom's house in the garage, I came. She was standing there. She saw my blank stare. She could tell I was in despair. My face a frown. I told her what had went down, not caring for my life and trying to escape the misery and the shame, the hurt, the pain. I started smoking cigarettes back to back. I rolled a dollar bill up and I went straight in the sack. I fell out cold on the spot. They had to hit me with the Narcan shot. Needless to say, I had died that day, not once but twice. And listen, my friend, I got out of the hospital and I did it again. This time I woke up in the back of an ambulance with a burn hole in my pants. In the middle of all this, the nurse asked me, why do you keep doing this? I told her why. I said, my girlfriend just died. For me saying that, little did I know they were going to keep me at St. Joe's. 3 days had gone by and still there in the hospital bed I lie. A nurse had gone by doing her round, said, you're going to Common Ground. Now, Common Ground is a place for the mental, but I knew my mind was sound. I got out of there quick. It was only an hour. I can't get my mind off of losing my flower. Now sober for a while, trying to put on that fake smile to my mother, sister, and brother, but all I did was trade one drug for another. Scared of the heroin, I went back to the crack. I knew I needed help. I knew my life was whack. Now I was screaming because I was teaming with the legion of demons. I hit rock bottom. I was like Gomorrah. You can call it Sodom. Knowing I needed rehab, I swallowed that life challenge pill. Next thing you know, I'm on the phone with Pastor Phil. In the LC kitchen, cooking dinner made me feel like such a winner. On the softball team, where a loss or a win, I feel good once again. Living the life I was meant to, my friend. I love life, love being a Christian. I truly came to know this awesome guy, and being filled with the Holy Spirit gives me a new high. To be truly free from addiction, this man is a must. He's a one of a kind. He's one you can trust. And his name is
Jesus.
I also want to thank you guys as a church. This is exactly what we need, is support. And your church has been awesome in that. You guys come. There's a mentor program. Pastor Phil mentioned a few guys. Bob, Bill, Dave Barclay has come alongside us and, you know, talk to the guys, come encourage us, and that's what we need. There's also dinners you guys have been cooking. Karen, Carol, your granddaughter, Jody. And I think you guys made lunch for us today, so thank you so much for that. But there is a couple other ways that you guys can come walk alongside us, get connected with us as Life Challenge. If you want, we have volunteering available. We need guys, or preferably guys, to come and drive guys to appointments. Also, come fellowship. You know, we have Friday and Saturday nights is our free time. And the guys have a few hours in the evening to come. You guys can play games. We like playing cornhole. Stuff like that. Also, I want to bring up, some of you are aware, we have a table out front here. It's our SAL table. SAL stands for Sponsor a Life. So for a small fee, $35 a month, there's these pamphlets here with all the information on it. You can really connect with one of these guys. Sometimes, you know, through our addiction, we ruin relationships to the ones we love, you know, and a lot of times it takes time to build that back up. So while we're here trying to work on ourselves, you guys can come alongside us, meet these guys in person. You can write them. You can come in, take them to lunch, however you guys see fit. But that's something that, in my own experience, has really, really helped me through the program. And right here, I want to invite Wyatt to give a little bit of his testimony and how also that SAL program, you know, is helping him.
Yeah, thank you, Truman. So I'm Wyatt. I've been in the program for 11 months now. As a matter of fact, me and this guy, Kyle, who handed the brochures out, we graduate August 29th. You guys are all welcome. Come on down and fellowship and hang out. Before Life Challenge, man, broken, just completely broken. I told a few of you guys the pallet sign story. on how, just how the Palestinians, relate to us. But before the program, I was, good life, good, grew up on a farm, mom and dad, happily married. Dad's a police officer, my mom's stay-at-home mom. She worked the farm, and life took a turn, and she got sick with cancer, and she, about 6 months before, she got saved and came to the Lord and was going to church and stuff, and I was a wee little guy, so I really didn't understand any of that. My dad didn't want nothing to do with it. She had a Bible, she was writing stories in it and stuff, little notes and stuff, and I had no idea. So life goes on, and she had passed away about 6 months after gotten saved, and so my father raised me up and was a mentor to me, just kind of like, this program was a mentor. And life didn't go as planned, as he would say. I got into high school, and I started hanging out with the wrong kids. I don't know, how many kids are in here of high school or middle school or something like that? Raise your hand. Someone? No? I see you slouching down your chair right there. You're in school. I'm just letting you know now, from experience, that who I hung out with is who I became. I mean, that's just, your parents will tell you that. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So that is an example, and this, we can all tell you this over here at 20 guys. So, hung out with the bad kids. They weren't bad on the outside, they were scoring touchdowns, they were prime kings, they were the top of the top. But on the inside, they were partiers, and, life was crazy and wild, and I stepped into that life, and I just, 110 miles an hour. I was wild and crazy in it. I got out of high school, I got a good job, used my hands as a construction worker, operator, then became a truck driver. But then I turned 21, and life took a bad toll for me. I started drinking every day, living at the bar. I met the cocaine dealer. Cocaine was, my life for the next 3 years. Fast forward to August 17th of last year, 23 years old, I went to my cocaine dealer's house. He gave me what I thought it was cocaine, but it was cocaine and fentanyl, and I took a lot of it. I ended up overdosing, dying. They brought me back to life with Narcan. Then I am at the hospital, and my father walks in, and just completely broken. I mean, a single father raises his son up. He's laying in the hospital bed, IVs hanging in him. It's just not a good sight. And he had no one to call. He didn't know who to call. Called his buddy Chris Swanson, who's a undersheriff of Genesee County right now, who's been a friend of ours for 25 years. He says, I got a plan for him. Keep him under wraps for 3 days. 3 days later, I end up at Life Challenge. And, yeah. Two weeks in the program, gave my life to the Lord, and yeah. My dad brings my Bible, brings a bunch of stuff up about 3 months in the program, and he brings my mom's Bible up, and I open her Bible for the first time, and I'm seeing stuff. I get to the Gospels, and she's writing notes to me with my names in them, writing them notes from 20 years ago that she had written in the Bible that she had knew that someday I was going to get a hold of this Bible and I was going to see it, and God just made that way. That's just another example of God's plan. And 3 months after that, my father came to the Lord. So, and I say all that because of, this program and the mentor program. I mean, there's times when, I'm feeling down and just troubled. And I don't know who to call. I can't go to anyone, and my mentor just shows up and he just takes me out to lunch and, we have a good time. I come back like, yeah, let's go. And, so this program, this mentor program, besides the Life Challenge, is just great for, guys that maybe don't get out often or don't have family or, just stuff like that. And I want to thank you guys for coming along and cooking us dinner. I'm telling you right now, it's starting to show. And we definitely appreciate you guys in this program. You guys helping out with us. I mean, you're more than welcome, invited everybody to come and hang out and play board games and stuff like that. So we just love you and thank you.
Thank you, Wyatt. And if those of you that are interested, these guys got some brochures, just raise your hand. They can walk around and you can take them, pray about them and things. But a great way
to stay connected. There's a few back there if you guys want to go hand them out. Great way to stay connected with our ministry and be involved, and really it changes lives, and we thank you, because we can't do what we do without support. At this time, I would like to invite Dusty up here to share his testimony. Now, Dusty, how long have you been in the program?
Just a couple months.
Couple months, so you're going to get a newer perspective on the program, and we just love this man.
Thanks, Pastor Phil. How's everybody doing today? Good, very good. You know, I was thinking a lot. My name's Dusty, of course. I was thinking about what I wanted to share with everyone today. And the Lord was speaking with me last night, and thank God I have him in my life now, because I'm finding that life's easier with God on my side than without. And he spoke with me a little bit, and I want to take a quick opportunity to thank Pastor Phil and Amy for giving me this opportunity. This is really exciting for the guys in Life Challenge as a whole, not just those of us that get the opportunity to share our story and, you know, kind of be the limelight, but every single one of us that are experiencing the day in and day out really miracle that this program is. You know, I say time, nobody comes into a place like Life Challenge on a winning streak. I know for sure I was not one of those people. And so, you know, we're about as far down as hopefully we're ever going to get. But having a ship like that and having people around that can really help us grow is such an exciting thing for us, because what it does is it gives people that would not ordinarily have a pedestal to share their experience, strength, and hope. You know, 6 months ago, I never would have thought I'd be sitting with, you know, a group of people sharing the hope that I have today. And it's really because of Life Challenge in just a few short months. So I just want to thank you guys so much for giving me this opportunity. Sharing the message is a big thing. So that's what I hope to do today. I really want to, you know, just reach out to, you know, if I can touch one person or impact somebody positively today, that's a blessing from God. I hope I can do that. If what I have to say doesn't interest you at all, I hear you can just count the number of times I say in the next 5 minutes. I hear I'll probably shatter a world record, so you can take an over-under on that, but I'll do my best to be conscious of it. So my testimony, my story. Miss Amy told me I had 5 minutes. I laughed because I don't think that's possible, but I'll do my very best. I'll keep the early years short. You know, great upbringing. I did have some alcoholism in the family, but really, you know, to not any degree that impacted me physically or emotionally. Grew up a pretty decent student, pretty decent athlete. I did feel a lot of pressure lots of times. I had an older brother that I blame to this day for that. He was like the golden boy, if you will. And I think I tried, in retrospect, I think I tried to live up to expectations that I was putting on myself. Maybe that the devil creeped in there. I had kind of a false sense of not adding up. At a pretty young age, baseball was my life. At 13, I had a friend that lived a couple doors down that played on the same travel organization as I did. He was a few years older, and that's when I was introduced to alcohol. Started drinking, and the not adding up, the fears, the worries, the anxieties disappeared, and I could only attribute that to this miracle potion that I put in my body. I know today it's a poison. I didn't know that at the time. And I continued to drink, but didn't, you know, to this day, I don't think it affected me a whole lot as far as, you know, school and things like that. Fast forward a little bit, went off to college. That's when it really, really started. I was in a fraternity. I always share this with like 35 other guys. And I was kind of known as the drinker partier. That should be a red flag right there, I suppose. If you stand out in that type of environment, there's probably a problem. Yeah, many hospital trips. I still attributed it to that's what you do at Michigan State. Go Spartans. And it was getting pretty bad. I ended up leaving school, broke up, you know, I had a relationship breakup to me at the time. It was devastating. Went home, stayed with my parents, and drinking continuously. Turned into around-the-clock drinking for me. Lots of people don't experience that. I hope none of you ever do, but it got to the point where I had to drink in the morning just not to be sick. I couldn't eat. I couldn't hold any food down. I would wake up in the morning and drink. Absolute insanity. I was a prisoner of myself. I knew it was something I shouldn't be doing, but I physically had to have it in my body. A few more hospital stays. One night I was in my bedroom, and my dad has a shotgun in the house. Not much of a hunter, but he had a gun for some reason. Got my hands on it, and I was sitting in my bed with my toe on the trigger, thinking this was the way out. And for no apparent reason, 2 o'clock in the morning, Dad just opened my bedroom door. I still don't know what woke him up. Actually, I got what woke him up. And he opened the door, and I can't imagine to this day, it still kills me, but I can't imagine what his feelings were at the time. Needless to say, I walked out of that room that night, and, you know, nothing happened, of course. Crashed his car a couple days later, another hospital visit. Woke up to use the restroom, and everything coming out of my mouth, throwing up like usual, was it looked like motor oil. It was just pitch black. I didn't know if I had cancer. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew it wasn't right. So Dad called the ER, and apparently I was bleeding internally due to a bleeding ulcer that I had digested all the blood, and that's what happens. So I went into the hospital, but the disease was so powerful, I got a hold of my dad's car before we went to the hospital, went to the store, bought a pint of vodka, and drank it before I was taken to the hospital. I ended up coming home a couple days later after they went in and did what they had to do, and I woke up in the morning with a sense of relief that I had never felt before. It was like a literal weight taken off my shoulder. At the time, it was very confusing, but very liberating. And I knew something needed to be done. I called my uncle, who was a member of AA. I'm a huge fan of that program today. I went into AA and stopped drinking for 8 years, just over 8 years. Thank you. Yes. It didn't stay that great, obviously, because I'm here. But so 8 years of I'm confused on the term to use today. I used to say recovery, then sobriety, and now I say abstinence because I was missing a huge part of what recovery should have in it. I went to the tables of the 12 steps, and they talked about turning my will and my life over to the care of God. They talked about admitting to God, to another person and myself, the nature of my wrongs. All these things I just eliminated God from. I went, the tables in the program is higher than me. It's a higher power. I can accept a higher power. I was not accepting of God. So I was abstinent of alcohol for 8 years. And all the external promises came true, the 9-step promises, all the things that I thought made a successful life. I got a really good job. I had a good income, bought a really nice house, bought a nice car, got married, beautiful wife. I'm thinking these are the things that equal success. Keeping up with the Joneses. There was something missing the entire time. I didn't know what it was. But I was irritable and discontented, even though I was sober. Obviously, after 8 years of not truly being happy, but just being abstinent of alcohol, I relapsed last year. Never saw it coming. I stopped working my program, and I think I... I started drinking. My wife, who was sober as well for 9 years, she has an intimate relationship with God, and she tried very, very hard to have me read the Bible and pray with her, to no avail. The relapsing kept happening, and she decided that continuing a life with me was not going to be the right thing to do for her, apparently. So she files for divorce. Just killed me, of course. And then I made the phone call and came to Life Challenge. Not really sure what to expect, but I knew that nothing else had worked for me. And I'm very happy to say, in the very little time I've had with these guys in this program, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. One of the biggest things I realized, sorry, Miss Amy, I'm trying. One of the things I realized is I was trying to do everything on my own. I had to have control over everything. I was the master of my life, and I was not following anybody except for myself. And it says in Matthew 16:25, for those who try to save their lives will lose it, but those who lose their lives with me will find it. And that's exactly what happened for me. And so coming into the program, I have found God. I'm learning to give my anxieties and my fears over to Him, having peace in my heart every day, knowing that all things work together for the good for those who believe. And I have a great support group to help me understand that. And want to thank everyone here today. Thank you for listening to our story. I really appreciate everyone. And God bless you.
That's what it's all about right there. Why we do what we do. I have a little verse I'd like to close in. It's Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, it is the Lord's will that we have freedom. It is His will that we be free from the slavery of sin. It is His will that we should no longer be trapped and be chained, be bound by addiction, by things in our life such as addiction, such as pride or gossip or anything that is hindering to our view of Jesus. And He wants us to have a good life. He wants us to live a life fully for Him, dedicated towards Him. He's a jealous God. Jesus was put on display for us. He was put on the cross for us. And He's asked all of us to return that and be put on display for Him. You know, there's a crisis that is going on in this country. Over 40,000 people a year die from opiate overdose. Think about that. 40,000 people. There's over 40,000 people that die of alcohol-related issues. Add it up. 80,000. That's not including any other drug that is out there. That's just opiates. That's just alcohol. Generations are being torn apart, being wiped out. It's time that we take a stand against this with Jesus. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. We pray. We continually pray to the Lord. How many here know somebody who's struggling in addiction? Pretty much most of you. How many here has lost somebody through addiction? Wow. It's a lot of you. How many here are sick of it? Come on. I'm going to ask that some of the guys that we talked to earlier about coming up and the prayer team here, come on up. Because I have this, you know, I believe that prayer is powerful. And we need to stand in the gap. For some of you out there that may be struggling with something, it could be alcohol. It could be any hinder in your life. It could be pornography. It could be any of that. You know what? It could be what you watch on TV. It could be what you watch on TV. And let me tell you right now, Jesus already knows. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows what you're doing. He wants you to come up and bring it to His feet. Bring it to the altar and lay it down and to never pick it up again. Come on. And I believe that we need to fill the gap, stand in the gap for those that we know that are struggling in addiction, that we need to come. These guys that are in the program here, they know how to pray. They know what to pray for. They've been through it. They've been dealing with it. So we're going to play a song here, and I'm going to ask that you come on up. And if you got something that you need to lay down, come on up and pray with us. And if you want to fight for somebody that's struggling, come on up. If you're struggling, come on up. Come up and pray with us.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.